May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm very grateful to Christian Aid, long-standing partners of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and Westminster Abbey, and the Dean, for organizing this national service commemorating 50 years after the death of Martin Luther King, Jr. Today, April 4th, exactly 50 years on to the day that Dr. King Jr. fell to the assassin's bullet from the racist career criminal James Earl Ray. On that day in Memphis, Tennessee, it seemed like the world had seen an end to his mission, but that was far from the truth. Dr. King was consistent in promoting the ideals he stood for and taking his stand against all forms of racial injustice and prejudice in the nation where he lived. He believed, and I quote, that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. An ideal he worked hard to promote, which in October 1964 earned him the Nobel Peace Prize. At the time he won the Nobel Peace Prize, he was the youngest recipient of the prize and only the second African-American to win it. But those ideals also cost him his life. Today, as we celebrate this landmark of this great man, we are reminded of the ideals he stood for. The same ideals which still elude us as a country and a world, in our civil society, our government, our judiciary, our police, our church, our civil service, our military, our educational institutions, our sporting arenas, and our wider community. The ideals that will make our society a just society, where justice will roll down like rivers of water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, in the words of Prophet Amos. Today, as we celebrate Dr. King, I want to speak mainly about two things that he stood for, which I would like to celebrate myself. First of all, he exposed the scandal of racial injustice and helped the world to look into the eyes of a society where inequality had become the order of the day. Secondly, he spoke as a prophetic voice to all of us, and not just the American nation. First, the scandal of racial injustice. Dr. King believed in the words spoken about by Prophet Amos when the people of God were instructed to take away their fatted animals, offerings, and the noise of their harps in worship until they let justice roll down like waters and righteousness flow like an ever-flowing stream. Quoting Richard Reddy in his epic book, History Maker, the biography of Martin Luther King, Dr. King studied for his PhD at Boston University under the supervision of Edgar Brightman and Harold Dewolf. And during this time, he came under their personality theories, which rejected the notion that God was an abstract being. And therefore, he subsequently argued that God was not a divine hermit hiding himself in a cosmic cave, but possessed a personality and could therefore have a relationship with human beings. Unlike other created beings, men and women were fashioned in God's image for the unique purpose of replicating God's nature, friendship, love, care for one another, looking out for each other. Therefore, if individuals from every ethnic group are created in the image of God, Imago Dei, there could never be a place in society for racial prejudice or discrimination. And so Dr. King later contended that the Bible did not tolerate racism because it saddened the heart of God, who made each one of us in his image. And so it was the duty of every individual in society to work to construct what he called a beloved community on earth. He showed this in his attitude towards the community in which he lived, that showed prejudice by opening his black-led campaign groups to people of all races, well-integrated, multiracial, ecumenical, working together to make American society a just place for all. This ideal continued to form the basis of his many campaigns and struggle for justice and equity and for peace. Because the struggle was for all. Because injustice anywhere was injustice everywhere. And today we ask the question in our nation, how many more young people will it take for us to declare the knife stabbings as a national emergency? Because when a black Asian parent loses a son to a knife attack or a daughter to a gunshot drive-by shooting, the hearts of every patient, every parent in our society, white or black, Asian of whatever origin, is broken because every parent has lost a child in our society. So today, when a child suffers, our child is suffering. When an adult suffers, our adults are suffering. When a family suffers injustice, our families are suffering. Because when there is injustice to one, there is injustice to all. Because we all belong to the same human family. And Dr. King understood this ideal. So Dr. King traveled across the United States, supporting and helping in other states that were struggling for equality, because he could have just sat down in his place where it was much better than most and turned a blind eye. But he saw the bigger picture and wanted to make a difference at the national scale. And that's the challenge to us today. I remember the story of a factory worker who worked in a steel factory where wheelbarrows were made. And every day after work, he'd push a wheelbarrow out with a small box in the middle of the wheelbarrow. And when he got to the security gates, the security man would look at him and say, "Hey, why are you going with that thing?" He said, "Oh, I'm just taking the rubbish out." "You sure? Can I have a look?" "Yes." He opened the box, and all that was in the box was sawdust and rubbish. So the first day he went through, the second day he went through, same way, third day, fourth day, fifth day, the security guard looked at him and said, "I am very sure you are doing something sinister. Tell me, what is it? Because you've come again with this wheelbarrow and this small box." So he pulled him aside and said, "Okay, tell me. I would not arrest you. Just tell me the truth." He said, "Well, I've been taking out the wheelbarrow every day." The security guard didn't know that the man had been taking out a brand new wheelbarrow every day because he was focusing on that small box. That's how we are, isn't it? We focus on the small things. We forget the big picture. Not Dr. King. So today we see on our news, "Oh, another child's been stabbed on the street." We think, "Oh, that's not a problem. What's wrong with these people?" It's our problem as a nation. How many more children will it take before we declare a national emergency to deal with this situation of knives on our streets, guns on our streets, and innocent lives being wasted? We cannot turn a blind eye. Dr. King was prophetic in all that he did. He wanted a society where justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And the scandal of injustice where people were treated differently because of the color of their skin or their place of origin, or the was something he couldn't take because it was a dehumanization of the human family to which we all belong, irrespective of our ethnic grouping. So every time a person suffers injustice, we all suffer injustice. Albert Einstein said, "The world is not a dangerous place because of those who do harm, but because of those who look at it and do nothing." So today I implore you, it's the all or none principle. If some have it and others do not, then for those of us who have it, it's a hollow justice, incomplete and marred. And we cannot afford to stand by anymore as indifferent bystanders. The time for that is past, because as we have seen, what touches one member of our community touches all of us. We've seen the recent events in Salisbury and how in the last few weeks, it's built up and all the nations have responded diplomatically, because what happened in Salisbury has happened here in Britain but has affected all of us, and our diplomatic responses have shown that. We are one world, one small village. So as I finish, in response to Martin Luther King's ideal, President Lyndon Johnson said these words: "The cause must be our cause too, because it is not just Negroes, but really it is all of us who must overcome the crippling legacy of bigotry and injustice, and we shall overcome." Our response must be one of what can I do to address the injustice in our society so that righteousness will flow like an ever-flowing stream. We do not have an option to sit and do nothing. Dr. King was brave. He was courageous. You remember, on the day that JFK was assassinated, King on a telephone call to his wife said, "Darling, I tell you, it's going to be me next. It's going to be me next." He had a foreboding that something was going to happen to him. And yours truly, after JFK, it was him next. But for his actions, we would not have had African Americans in key positions of office and authority. Secretary Andrew Young, General Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, President Barack Obama, and the list goes on. The legacy of the hard work of Dr. King and the civil rights movement continues to be one that we all look at today and thank God for. What about the August 28th rally that saw 300,000 people march down to the Capitol? 3/4 African Americans, 1/4 whites, 1/4 Latino. In its integrated form, Martin Luther King was open to work with everybody. And as Pastor Neumüller said, a foe of the Nazi regime, first, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak up because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jew. I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Today is the time for us to think about acting with intention and courage to contribute our part to make a difference, and not shy away from the truth of rediscovering justice in our country, in our civil society, in our government, and in all the realms and aspects of our nation. Today, the national call to us is one for bravery and not cowardice. At a recent viewing of Julius Caesar, I heard those words again from the words of Shakespeare: "Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once." Martin Luther King was not a coward. He was courageous. He was brave. And in the words of Nelson Mandela, the late great statesman, "Courage is not the absence of fear. It is the way we choose to be. It is how we react to different situations. It is learning to overcome fear and acting. Courage and faith in God is what we pray for, so that we would achieve and God would use us to rediscover justice in our nation, in our communities, in our lives, and grace to speak as prophetic voices to our modern society, because the Lord has shown us what is good and requires us to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly before him in the words of Prophet Micah. And my prayer is that God will give us grace to respond to this call and to bless him with our lives, even as Martin Luther King did. May his abundant grace in the Easter hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ empower us for this task. Amen.